All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are. This is Settle Down episode, or not Settle Down. Made that mistake last time. This is the Good Old Hockey Podcast, episode number 6. Last week, took a little break. We had our guest Johnny on, which was awesome. But now we're back talking hockey here with Gally again.
What's going on?
Gally, how are you doing this week? How was last week for
you? It was good, man. Fucking, you know, still kind of starting out a new job, that marketing company. But yeah, I had a pretty good week, I guess weekend as well. Had a hockey game on Sunday.
Nice. Did you guys win?
We did not. The fucking other team had 3 players on the bench too, and we ended up taking the L. I did score 2 Genos, so that felt well. It was our only 2 goals. I scored a sick wraparound, which I was like, those are my favorite fucking goals to score. I don't know if like wraparound or bar down is like my favorite, but I fucking love wraparounds, man. It feels good.
Wraparounds are fun. Nothing can beat the bar down.
Yeah.
Especially
no, definitely. But I think I went out on Friday night too, downtown Boise. It was a time. Some friends come in from California that I went to college with and got fucked up, man. How was your weekend though?
Yeah. Pretty good. We do Friday. Friday, we went bowling. And the Emerald Lanes down here, their drinks are pretty cheap too. I think I only spent like $20 and I had like 4 or 5 cocktail, like whiskey sours. So yeah, we did that. And then we got up early Saturday cause we were cooking all day. We did that live stream, which was fun for college football. And yeah, we pretty much cooked all day, made burgers, buffalo chicken dip. Zooch cooked a lot. And then after that, we went to End Zone to watch the Boise State game or whatever was left of it. And like, we were debating, did you go to the game on Saturday?
I actually stayed home and watched the game with a bunch of my boys. We played some poker, ended up $55 up, which was fire. I should have joined that live stream too. Yeah. I fucked up not hopping on there. I was just like lazy as fuck on
Saturday. That was fun for a sec. Yeah. No,
next time, totally. For sure.
Yeah. No, next time. I want to do that sometime in the future. I think December, I said. We'll do like a 1 year of Settle Down, kind of like award show kind of thing. That'll be fun. But that'll probably be the next like big live stream we have. That one was just kind of on a whim. Zach wanted to do it because he was big Ole Miss fan. They're playing Georgia. That ended horribly. But other than that, it was a fun time. Like we only had a couple people pop in. We made money. So Settle Down has actually made some money. What did I do? A dollar. If you Venmoed me a dollar, that bought us a shot of like Pink Whitney that we had. Ugh. I think we ended up making $11 off people in shots. So me and Cody just used it on NBA shots at End Zone.
Dude, $11.
But that was cool. It was fun to have. Yeah. No, it was a little bit of money. So it was cool. We went Saturday End Zone to the game. We didn't go to the game because it was going to be too cold. And I was like, yeah, no. I really don't want to sit out there and pay $30 to watch them whoop their ass.
New Mexico.
It wasn't really that entertaining of a game to go to. We had a good time. Then we went downtown after that. Had some fun. So it's a good
Speaking
weekend overall, though.
Non-hockey related, fucking Avalos got fired this week.
That was huge. Crazy, they, dude. So Ryan Yaya, our friend, Jordan Dalmas, our kicker, he talked to him and pretty much had said that the biggest problem, we'll make this short just because it's not hockey related. Anyone listening to Boise State banter, I'm sure you don't want to listen to this, but you're going to hear it anyways. Basically what he said was that Dalmas had said, he's our kicker, that like there was a lot of just stuff that Avalos would do, that there was just a lot of like preparation. They were pretty much like not fresh for game time. And now they're changing that approach and going to go more towards just being fresh and ready for the game, opposed to like working their ass off during the week to try to correct things versus just being fresh for the game. So we'll see how that change does for them. But on to that, we've had a lot of firings, not just Andy Avalos, but we had some other stuff this weekend. We had, there was a lot of college football firings, and then also the big one, Oilers fired Jay Woodcroft, former Sharks assistant coach. But I thought that was a long time. I thought after they lost to the Sharks, I thought he was going to get fired the next day.
You lose to the Sharks, you're fucking out of here.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I watched most of that game against the Oilers, and I was like actually shocked. And being a Sharks fan, I was like, wow, the Sharks actually look good. And I think part of it was maybe a bit of bad timing for the Oilers, just because I think Sharks GM Mike Greer had gone into the locker room and pretty much said, like, hey, if you guys aren't going to play, you're going to figure out real quick where you're going to be on this team if you guys don't start showing up for these games, which I think worked out for them well. Obviously, they went on a 2-game winning streak and then lost again. But I think for the Oilers, a big thing I saw in that was, what is it? Their new coach. Who's their new coach? Do you know his name?
I want to say he's one of their assistants off the top of my head. I don't know. I want to say it was one of their assistant coaches.
Because I think
Knockblock.
From what I saw. Name. Yeah. What I saw was that he was McDavid's old coach for the Erie Otters. And they brought him in.
Did see that.
And yeah. So I don't know if that had – I know in an interview McDavid had said pretty much that he didn't have any saying to do, like, push towards anything, or he wasn't, like, in the ears of the GM saying to do this or that. But it's just a little – I think his old agent is the president of the Oilers. Or some, he's in there too. Like, he's got some people connected in his organization now. So – I don't know if he's got a bit of Le GM like LeBron does. Does a little bit of GM work on the side of being a player. But we'll see for that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I don't really know. With that, I think, you know, it was interesting to me because I was like, you know, McDavid, and I know a lot of players on the Oilers came out and said it was nothing to do with Woodcroft. Is it Woodcroft or Woodcroft? I think it's Woodcroft.
Yeah. Woodcroft.
Yeah. And yeah. It was interesting to me to see that, just because I was like, it seems like, you know, that would be kind of like a McDavid or, you know, one of their superstars to request that, especially in, like, 11, 12 games into the season. Usually coaches don't get fired that quickly, but I think there's just such high expectations for this team, especially after how far they went into the playoffs and really didn't change too much of their team. And now they're worst team in, you know, second worst team in the NHL. So I feel like that's must have just been came from the top, that they needed some sort of shakeup. And if they continue this, man, like, I don't know what the fuck the Oilers are gonna do. I mean, I've seen a lot of like mock trades for McDavid or Drysdale or Nugent Hopkins. If anyone, I think they'd probably trade Nugent Hopkins or maybe one of their defensemen. But oh my gosh, dude, the fucking Oilers are sucking ass. But the Flames aren't that far behind them either. So, I mean, I can't talk too much. And honestly, like, fucking, I can't believe the Flames. Like, I heard they're having calls for all their superstar players that are, you know, kind of their contracts are ending or they're in re-signing talks. They're probably going to trade them away if things don't pick up soon. And they're playing the Canadiens right now. They better fucking win that. Or it's, yeah. Alberta right now is not a good place for the NHL. There's been a lot of seasons when the Oilers and Flames are like top of the division, top of the conference even. But yeah, right now they're in the dumpsters. But I don't know, like, what do you think the Oilers need? Like, because everyone was predicting them to make the fucking Stanley Cup final, if not win it, or far into the playoffs. So, like,
I had them winning the cup this year. Like,
in a way, it's their defense and goaltending, but also, like, dude, McDavid was scoreless, like, goalless for like 7 or 8 games, I'm pretty sure, which, like, that's not happened in his career.
No, he's had a rough start. Yeah. And I think it's, I don't know, I think for the Oilers, I think they just have, like, Darnell Nurse is, I think, overpaid. So I just think it's almost one of those things where it's just not, I mean, that locks you down. I don't know what his exact salary is. I'm sure it's, I think it's in the 5 or 6s a year. And, like, yeah, he's a good solid defenseman, but I don't think that, I just don't, I think he's getting overpaid and it's taking up a lot of their cap space, which they already have two players over $10 million a year, which is a lot. And a lot of times those Stanley, I think, I forget what it was, but there's a statistic that said, like, people that are making over 10, if you have more than two players or more than one player over $10 million a year, those teams never win a cup. I think Vegas, who was it? Only Jack was over 10. I think Jack's like at 10, maybe he's 9 even. I don't know. But I think they just need, yeah, a solid. I don't really know who you get rid of. I mean, maybe Nuge, but
not very good.
He was a big part of their offense last year.
This is just
a
mock trade I just came up with in my head. And I don't know how accurate this would be, but Draisaitl for Roman Josi on the Predators.
Yeah, I just think if you split those two up, I don't know.
I think McDavid's going to be good. I'm interested to see what Draisaitl would do without McDavid. Because, like, I think McDavid's going to be good. Where if you put him on the fucking Sharks right now, he's going to be good. Probably.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But like, Draisaitl is just, I feel like, in a way, is kind of relied on being on McDavid's line for at least his point production. I wouldn't take away from a player he is, but at least point production being top five in points for, you know, season after season. That's definitely something that's, like, I think could be affected if he was away from McDavid. But no, I wonder what they're going to do. I think if anyone they're going to trade, it's probably going to be Nugent Hopkins. I don't think they're going to be able to trade Darnell Nurse's contract. I know Bouchard, they just signed him in the offseason, and he's doing pretty good. I think he's leading their team for defensemen in points. So I guess that's a plus for them. Mm-hmm. He's a young defenseman, and he's putting up some points. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting how the Oilers turn around. December is going to be a huge month for them because things are looking down, like, at the end of December. Who knows what's going to happen in terms of trade, whatever.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think when it comes to hockey, like, a lot of times after that, the new year starts, I think that's when hockey really starts. I mean, right now, I don't think it's a huge deal that they're not doing good. I mean, obviously, they got to make some changes before January starts. But, I mean, I think a big thing for them, it's always been, is their goaltending. I mean, they just sent down Campbell to their AHL team. And did you see that goal he let in? It was like a super, like, he's struggling in the AHL. So it's just like, I don't know. I think they just have always had this goaltender issue, and they've gotten away with it last year with just their offense. And now we're seeing their offense not produce, and it's struggling for them. So I think, I don't know. It's tough to, like, give away one of those, especially Draisaitl. Like, he is such a great player. And I think both him and McDavid, the reason they were so high in points last year is because they were playing together. Yeah. I don't think McDavid would have got 160 points last year if it wasn't for Draisaitl. Now, I still think Draisaitl is a great player. He's definitely in the top five. If not top 10, if you want to argue that, but he's still a great player that they have. I just don't know if you can give that away.
Yeah, like, no, and it's like a
two-headed. You better be getting something,
like, you know, like Crosby and Malkin and Messier and Gretzky. It's like, you know, if you give away one of those players, you better get something good in return. So, I mean, I think it would be something on the defensive front, whether that's a goalie or defenseman that's proven one, but also just like elite is Draisaitl.
Yeah. You can't really develop anyone at this point. You got to get someone that's
100%.
They should have gotten, I mean, I don't know how they would have afforded it, but if they could have gotten Carlson from the Sharks, I don't know. I'm not GM, so I don't know.
Dude.
But Carlson went to the Oilers. That would have been all three of them playing. Yeah, that would have been crazy. But I think as far as the Oilers, if they can figure out their goaltending, we'll see. It's a long season. We still got another month and a half till I would be like, all right, they need to do something. I mean, I don't think McDavid's going to hit his 160 points like he did last year at this rate.
I don't even know if he's going to hit 100 points at this rate. I mean, which would be, that would be kind of crazy in a way, from dropping off from over 130 points for two consecutive seasons and then dropping off to under 100 points. But who knows? Maybe it's just not the year for the Canucks. That happens from time to time. But it's crazy. Everyone was saying, you know, this in terms of predictions. And then, you know, this is how they're starting out, at least. But hey, there is a lot of puck to go. We still got like 65 games at least.
Once you make playoffs, everything's different. It doesn't matter. Even if you squeak into the wild card, obviously we saw with Florida. As long as you can get in the playoffs, that's all you can hope for, and just from there grind out. But enough about the Oilers. We'll go on to the Canucks. We have here next. They are firing right now. What's the record? 11. I just saw it. It was like 11-3. 11-3-1.
Highest goal differential in the league too, which I think that says a lot about their team. One, their defense and their goaltending. Yeah. Demko is playing on his fucking head. I want to say he's in top 5 for save percentage and goals against average. So that's like a key piece. But then, dude, their captain, Quinn Hughes, he is turning it up a notch. He's definitely like the leading, you know, I'd say the leading favorite for the Norris Trophy. And, you know, 3 out of the top 5 scorers in the league are coming from the Canucks. JT Miller's having an insane year, which I didn't really see that coming. He's in the top 5. But, you know, their offense is firing. Brock Besser's also fucking going off too. But Quinn Hughes, you know, he's really putting the team on his back. You know, having 23 points in 14, 15 games and leading plus minus for the league, that's it's a pretty big statement. And I know before the season he was saying, like, you know, they drafted us for a reason. Pedersen, Hughes, you know, they got Besser, and you know, this is kind of their time to win. They're in their prime, so it's gonna be interesting to see what the Canucks do. You know, hopefully they don't make the finals and lose and then burn down their city again, because that could definitely happen. But I mean, shit, dude, they're looking good. I haven't seen them, you know, this dominant since the Sedin twins were kind of in their prime. When the Sedin twins were in their prime, like, holy shit, this team's unbeatable. I think they won a couple.
No, they were. That was like 2012.
Yeah, it was like 2008 to like 2012-2013 era. Freaking Canucks are just dominant, man. But yeah, I mean, Pacific is, I mean, the Canucks and the Knights are just dominating the Pacific. Everyone else in the Pacific's pretty trash. That 3 spot's gonna
be I think the Kings are the next closest.
What'd you say?
To come up. But I think the Kings are the next closest. But I think everyone else, I mean, we'll see what Edmonton does. But as of right now, I think it's those 3 teams locked in that position. Everything down below could switch up. But definitely the top 2, I think the Canucks and Knights are going to be fighting for that first spot all season. I think long term, though, I think the Knights kind of have that. But I think the Canucks will be close by with them. But another hot team, the Rangers right now. They were hot last week too. We didn't really get to touch on it, but that Rangers team is 9-0-1 the last 10
crazy,
games.
Crazy, man. Like, they're another team that's just fucking unbelievable in terms of offense. I mean, Panarin is just killing it. 24 points in 14 games for Panarin. Yeah. I mean, that's
crazy. Yeah.
That's pretty insane. I don't think he had the best of a season last year. Necessarily. So, you know, kind of just bouncing out of
a shaved head.
Pretty damn sick.
Yeah. Maybe you should shave your head and you'll get some more points on your men's league.
Yeah. Shit. Sorry. Aaron scored 92 points last season. So I was lying. He had a pretty good year last year. I know, dude, it's crazy.
He had a pretty good season. But still,
photo of him, like his header for the league is insane. Like, it's like total switch up.
The bald man.
But no, the Panarin's doing good. Fucking Shesterkin's playing is incredible too. So I think they got, you know, They're in the Metro, correct? I think they got the Metro on lock.
Yeah, I think so too. The Atlantic, though, I mean, we said this in the beginning. I think it's one of those divisions that's just going to be back and forth, I think, all season. I mean, who's ahead right now? Boston? Yeah, Boston. I think Boston's going to keep that top spot for the time being, but Panthers just jumped up. I didn't realize that. They're at
Panthers came out of nowhere. Panthers did not have a good start to the season. I want to say they're at the bottom.
No, they didn't.
And now they're just killing it. Dude, the Bruins, I think the Bruins are probably going to take the division again, but you know, in between second place for that division and seventh is 4 points. So it is very tight. And those are good teams. I mean, I think the only surprise out of these teams is the Canadiens. Like, the Canadiens are still weirdly in the mix at the beginning of the season.
In the mix.
Who knows if it's just kind of like luck, but we'll see how that plays out. I don't really see them making too much noise. And holy shit, dude, will Lightning get Vasilevskiy back? That could be a whole nother animal in that division / conference and league. Like, I'm sure a lot of people in the Atlantic are not very happy about Vasilevskiy coming back, but I want to say that's going to be soon, because I think he's out practicing with them now. So,
yeah, I want to say from when we were doing the fantasy stuff, I want to say he's supposed to be back December or January. It's probably looking more mid-December maybe now if he's practicing with them. But yeah, I mean, man, that Atlantic, even the Senators, I mean, they're not too far off behind the Panthers. They're, 7 points? 100%. So if they get 4 wins in a row, the Panthers lose 4, they could switch spots.
Literally. Oh, and yeah, the Panthers are on a 4-game win streak right now. I mean, I think another thing is Swayman for the Bruins, which that kind of went over my head. I know Ullmark was like the big goaltender for the Bruins last year. Yeah. Swayman this year, I mean, he's early Vezina favorite. Now I mean, he's leading the whole league in goals against and save percentage. And the Bruins have the lowest goals against in the whole league. So, I mean, Bruins defense is fucking locked down right now. I mean, goaltending and their defense cores is crazy.
I think they just have, I think it's just, I don't know what it is about them. Like, they've been so good for, I don't even know, since what? When was the first cup they won more recently? Like 2008?
2011. Red Wings. Are you saying the Bruins?
2011. Yeah, the Bruins, like, first win, like, in the last, like, 10, 20 years. So, I mean, they've been good for the last 12 years. They've had little hiccups, but, I mean, what? They've got 2 or 3 cups in the last 15 years. So yeah, I think, I mean, Boston's just one of those teams that just, they've done well. I think their GM's awesome. Been doing good. I mean, they've just gotten lucky too, with especially Pastrnak, like we talked about, end of first round, and now he's this top 10 player in the league. They're doing everything.
Yeah. Right, so. I mean, the Bruins only won in 2011 too. I don't think they've won. I don't even know if they've made it to the cup final.
They haven't?
No, they've just been, dominant. Though. I mean, they've been dominant in the regular season. And then when it comes to the playoffs, it's usually a team that bounces them second round or conference finals. But no, that 2011 team was crazy. That was back when Tim Thomas was their goalie.
True. Yeah, Tim Thomas. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They only won in 2011. Wow. All right. Well, I was wrong.
No, but the
damn. I thought they, right, I guess. Now, man. Oh, you know what? They played in the final against Chicago?
Yeah. I think that was like,
come on. They went to the final. Yeah. Still, regardless, they've still been good. They've had a little hiccup years and stuff like that, but I mean, yeah, it's tough. I mean, we said in the beginning, I didn't think that they were really going to be able to do what they did last year, but I mean, they only have 1 loss, 2 overtime losses, so we'll see what they do this year. But
looking pretty nasty, that's for sure, man.
The Central. Yeah. Central, though, I think that is definitely an interesting. Oh, what are they at?
Yeah.
Stars are at the top right now, 21.
I think the Central, like, I think the Western Conference is, like, besides the Knights, Canucks, and I'd say the Stars right now, and Avs, I'd say those four teams are pretty good locks going into the postseason. But there's four other spots. I mean, there's those three spots in each of those divisions, and then the wild cards. That second wild card could be fucking anyone. It could be the Coyotes, you know? I mean,
the Oil could. Yeah.
No, probably not the Sharks. Probably not the Flames. Hopefully the Flames, but I don't fucking know. But, I mean, literally, like, the Western Conference is so wide open. It is beginning of the season, so it's probably going to shake out a little bit. Yeah, the Central is, like, so wide open. I mean, between, you know, second place, there's literally – second place and sixth place, there's literally a six-point gap. So, only three games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, shit, you go to the, you know, third place spot, which is a playoff spot. That's only four points, and there's, you know, four teams in the mix right there. So, I think it's pretty interesting with the Coyotes. Like, how the hell the Coyotes, you know, you'd expect them to be bottom dwellers like the Sharks, but they're, like, holding their own against – these teams. Keller's doing good, and Macicelli, I don't know how to say his name, but he's doing good as well. But it's just crazy too to me that they're playing in a fucking NCAA rink too.
Yeah playing in a college barn. I think the Coyotes, they've had a lot of this talent just kind of sitting there waiting to blossom, and I think we're kind of starting to see that. I think, it's good for the Coyotes to stay where they're at. But, yeah, I think over – we'll see. Maybe I could see them squeaking into the playoffs. I don't know that it's going to be long-term that they're going to go very far. But, I mean, you give them a couple of years till those players start to develop even more and get better. I mean, that's really what you got to look at it as a team that's been so bottom-dwelling for so long, is you got to see improvement over the years. Last year, we all thought they were going to get Bedard at some point just because of how bad they were being. And then all of a sudden, they just turned it on. And they didn't make the playoffs, but they were jumping up in the standings. And I think as a team, you just got to look at getting better every year. And obviously, right now, that's what they're doing. So I think it's good for them just to keep on getting better. And yeah, they have, I mean, now Logan Cooley's playing for them.
He is going to be pretty stud. Good. I mean, he's a stud this year alone. He's probably second right now behind Bedard for the Calder. Yeah. But, dude, Cooley's going to be one of their biggest studs throughout next 10 years. You know, he's definitely a franchise player for them. And something in my gut tells me Austin Matthews is going to go there.
I see it, too. I've heard a lot of jumbling about it.
Matthews has a four-year contract right now. So I think when that's up, like, fuck, he's going to want to go back to Arizona. And I feel like at that time, they might be kind of a bubble team or a little bit better at least. So, and maybe a new rink. So, and not only that, who knows? Arizona is not the biggest hockey market, but if Austin Matthews went back, I feel like that market would grow so much. I think it would be good for the league because dude, Toronto, you're going to get fans all the time. And also going to Arizona, I feel like that's a lot less pressure because, I mean, Canadian markets are sick and all, but like
it's not that big of a market.
The media up in Canada is just so hard on players. I've heard that, you know, rumors and throughout the league, you know, just saying, you know, Canadian markets are ridiculous in terms of, you know, playing in them and people's expectations. Especially like Montreal and Toronto. I mean, and it even rubs off in Edmonton, Calgary too. So just because it's like, you know, that's the most popular league, popular sport up there. So it's kind of what people do, you know, spend their time following. Not saying Canadians don't follow other stuff, but it is, you know, by far the most popular sport up there. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting seeing what happens with Matthews. So.
Yeah, no, I'd be curious. I think it would be almost like what Gretzky did for L.A. in a sense, in turning the West Coast hockey and even the Knights. I mean, the Knights winning is huge for Las Vegas. Their first team, like the Knights, are Las Vegas. You know, even if the Raiders go there or are there, the A's are going there. I think Vegas will always have the Knights. That's their team. And I think, yeah, I don't know. I think if Matthews transfers over there, I think, yeah, we could see hockey. I mean, it's already, I don't know. Desert hockey is just weird. I think it's cool. And I think Gary Bettman wants to get hockey more popular out there. And just West Coast in general, but we'll see. He's got 4 years. I think for Matthews, if Toronto doesn't do anything with those 4 years that he's with them, I for sure no doubt that he's going to leave if they don't win a cup in those 4 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's going to be just such a mess for Toronto whenever that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Toronto's not doing too well either. I think they're kind of
like. They're sitting right in the middle of the Atlantic. I think it's just, it's all the new. I think they'll come out higher up. I think they'll
win the playoffs this year. Will.
But if they don't. Yeah.
If they didn't blow the whole team up.
One more thing on this. One more thing on the Central before we move on is fucking Connor Bedard. He's gone on a tear the last 2 weeks since we talked. He had a, 4-point game against the Lightning. Yeah. Just huge. He had that sick pass, the little toe. That's like his move now. Like, he's perfected it when he does that little, like,
toe drag,
gets shot. Stick blade And then just, like, reaches back and passes it. He had 2 goals against, who was it? Was it Ottawa? No. I'm blanking on who he... Is that one he got laid out and then Foligno came over and like beat the shit out of the guy. What team was that?
I do remember seeing that though for sure.
I'm going to look at scores because that's bothering me that I can't think of.
No, Bedard's insane though. Leading rookies in points and goals and the Hawks. I think that was kind of expected, but it is pretty sweet seeing him living up to these expectations, and you can just watch him in the game. He's incredible. He's fucking 18 years old.
Oh, it was the Panthers.
He's only 18 years
old. The Panthers. Because Tkachuk came up to him.
Yeah.
Did you see that when he got hit from behind, and then Foligno came in and beat the shit out of the guy, and then Tkachuk came up to him and started like pushing Bedard around, picking on the 18-year-old. Total Tkachuk move, which was hilarious. But go back to what you're saying. I think from what you said, what did you say he could break? Like 82, like he could get points per game.
I made the bold prediction and said he's gonna make 100 points this year. So
that's right.
Who knows if that's going to happen? It's not looking too good right now, but shit, he could turn it up the second half of the season, especially how comfortable he's kind of getting into the NHL speed and whatnot. Shit, dude.
You could hit 82. He's at 13 points right now.
And I think, like, dude, if you can do that 14, 15 games in, he could be a really, really good player 42 games in or, towards the end of the season.
He's at a point per game right now. Chicago has played 13 games. He has 13 points. So
crazy. Taylor Hall was doing pretty funny in fantasy hockey too. That wasn't the best of pickups, but oh well. Yeah.
Is he? Whatever. All right. Next one we got here is the OT rule changes, which I'm excited for this because I think OT has been. I've always said this about the shootout. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think losing in a shutout is the most demoralizing way to lose a hockey game. And
yeah, that's brutal, dude.
Well, maybe not demoralizing, but it's just like, it's just like a shitty way to lose. Like, I don't know. I would rather see it. I don't know if you have this on here, but getting rid of the shootouts and just doing 3-on-3 hockey for 10 minutes instead of 5. If both teams, they don't score, each team, you take a tie and that turns into the, what's called, you get 1-1. And if you win in overtime, you get 2 points. Lose in overtime, you don't get a point. Or maybe you get a point and it adds to the tie / overtime loss. That could work too. But Yeah, I think it's just, I think if you give people 10 minutes to play 3-on-3 hockey, someone's going to score.
Yeah, 100%. I know, I mean, this was just, I've kind of heard, you know, back and forth about this throughout past years, I'd say. Just because some of the minor leagues have tried different rules and it ends up working out really well. But I know, like, today, this was when I first saw this headline, and I was like, damn, they're probably going to change these OT rules. And I know it was the biggest point that they were talking about was, like, there's too much possession. It's too much of a possession game for 5 minutes because these teams are bringing back, you know, if I've watched some OT games where, like, one team will have, like, 80 to 90% of the possession during the period. So, like, that really just, like, changes the OT structure in a way. Also, like, shit, you could have some players out there for 2 or 3 minutes and totally worn down. You know, I feel like as a coach and as a team, you kind of got to work around that. But yeah, it seems like there's like some potential changes that they're wanting to do. I know one of them is a 7-minute overtime. I know the East Coast League has been doing that and it's been working pretty damn well. NHL and, you know, the Coast League are a lot different in terms of skill, but rarely do games go to shootouts in the East Coast League. And I think it would be worth it to, even next season if they did 7-minute OT. You know, I think that would definitely, you know, fix games going into shootouts. A crazy one I saw was a shot clock, which I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck that would look like in hockey. If it would be like, you know, you cross the zone and it's like 15 seconds or something like that. But that could be cool too in the same way.
I'm trying to think on that. Because you also, you mentioned bringing the puck past the red line. You can't bring it back. I think it would shake things up. I just think it's tough because like a lot of 3-on-3 hockey is like setting up, getting a good entry, passing the puck around. You got to reset if you need to kind of thing. I think the shot clock could be interesting. If it was even to match basketball, 24 seconds, I think that gives teams enough time to kind of move the puck around. And what do you think? Like if a team gets a shot on net, does that start back over to 24?
I think if they got a shot on net, that would be okay. And then I'd say if they don't get a shot on net, it's an offensive zone face-off for the other team.
Whistle.
Or shit, dude, fucking penalty would be insane too, but that might be a little drastic. That was another thing was like, you know, you can't bring it past the red line or the blue line once you enter the offensive zone. Like you said, you know, eliminating the shootout too. That was like another option that I saw. Well, it would I would hate ties personally. I think it'd be sweet if they just kept going with another second OT. Third OT.
Yeah.
And the most interesting one I saw was similar to like college football, where each team has alternate power plays. 4v3 too. Like a 4-on-3. Cool. Yeah. That would be so cool. I would love to at least see that like in a tournament setting first, but like that could be really entertaining because like one, it's more goals. And shit, dude, think if you had like two teams that were just firing. You know, it'd just be back and forth OTs. It'd be really fun to watch, I think.
I think that would be honestly really cool. If they say they did, okay, so say that game ends, end of third period, 3-3. You go into this overtime thing and you do just that. You don't have 10 minutes, like, because I think also it's like you don't want the games to be super long because I mean, I think a lot of times games do end in shootout. And obviously you don't want games to be super long, tiring players out. And I think 3-on-3 hockey for continuous time would just wear out a lot of these players. But if you did an alternating 4-on-3 power play and say, what would be cool is like, say Sharks playing the Oilers and the Oilers score first on the first power play they get. The Sharks get another opportunity for 2 minutes. They don't score, game's over. But if they score, they just keep going back and forth. I think it'd be interesting, but I think at a point, you just have to end at a tie if it keeps going back and forth. Just because, I mean, football, you think you play once a week and they do this back and forth stuff, they can get away with that or these games ending at midnight. But I think a lot of times, I mean, we'd have, if it just did continuous, I think we'd have games that will go on for hours because they're just too A, too tired, and also just like they're just gassed. So yeah, I don't know. I think the tie would suck, but I think we're gonna have to barter with the owners, and they want those games to be not as tiring. So we'll see.
Hey, we're gonna throw it. I think something to the listeners out there. We're gonna put a poll up about this.
Yeah,
we'll throw we're gonna see what you guys.
Oh, it should. Yeah, let's see that. We'll do. Yeah, which one out of what? Honestly, we'll give a couple options, and you guys got to pick which one you want to see the most. It's only gonna be one thing, so it'll be either 7-minute overtime, keep everything the same. The one I said about keeping it like a 10-minute overtime ends in a tie, or 7-minute continuous, or the alternating 4-on-3 power play. So, see what you guys think about that. But moving on next, we're gonna do something a little different this week. Instead of just talking pure hockey, we're gonna introduce some like segments too to make it a little bit more fun. Obviously, we're not any professionals to say what these teams should or shouldn't be doing. We'll give our opinions, but obviously we're not any professionals or anything like that. But what we have next is like, we're still working on the title, but what we have right now is Wayback Wednesday. Since we're filming this Tuesday, it'll be out tomorrow, Wednesday. We're going to go back and kind of look just at like past events that have happened in the NHL. Almost like a little history lesson, just so you guys, I don't know, it's always fun. I love listening to these things, just kind of like stuff even... I mean, for us, we're only, 23, 24. Stuff that we were never even around for, I think, is always cool and important to learn about, too, especially for the sport of hockey and how long it's been. And I don't know. There's always something that you never know about.
Yeah.
So, Gally, you can go first with yours.
I think, it's a 106-year-old league. There's a lot of shit out there. And I feel like, the beginning parts of the league, a lot of people don't necessarily know too much about.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I guess I'll just start off. I know last night the 2023 Hockey Hall of Fame inductee class got presented. I think it was in Toronto, or it might have been Sunday. Very recently it happened, but Henrik Lundqvist was a part of that. Mike Vernon, Tom Barrasso, Pierre Turgeon, Pierre Lacroix, and Caroline Ouellette were in the 2023 class. I think the 2024 class is going to be some fucking rock stars. I was looking ahead of that, but I'll just touch a little bit about, the 2023 class. Starting out, the King Henrik is just unbelievable. Like, I was researching him, and like I grew up watching him, and was like, this guy's best goalie in the league by far, or at least just consistent wise, and I think he was kind of coming off of when like Brodeur kind of dominated the league, but Lundqvist was insane. I was going to say, like, I was going to pull up, that ESPN advertisement of Lundqvist. He's in one of them. It's fucking hilarious, dude. King Henrik, though, just to spit off some facts about all of these players that got inducted. I think he's the best 7th round draft pick of all time. He was drafted in the 7th round, 205th overall, which is just an unbelievable steal to get a player like this. Fingers crossed Dustin Wolf's like that for the Flames. 22-year-old Swedish Hockey League MVP, which is pretty damn impressive to do at 22. 5-time Vezina finalist. Yeah. He won the Vezina in 2012. Best dressed player of all time. I know that's an argument. I know he's gotten in People magazine for most 100 beautiful people like in 2008 or something, which is like crazy. But
no shit.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are like, he's the best dressed in the league. He's got the best style. I mean, he's an analyst now on TV. Guy's a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only goalie to win 30 games consecutively in his first 7 seasons. He's an all-time Rangers leader in wins and shutouts. Fastest goalie to 400 wins as well. Most wins by a European goalie. And he has the longest time. This is the best, I think. Longest time without a goal in all of Olympic history, 172 minutes and 34 seconds, which that chalks up to like almost 3 games straight, pretty sure, which is like fucking insane. Yeah. And then a funny one that I found, I didn't even know this. He was a guitarist in a Swedish rock band called Boxplay. So Henrik Lundqvist, fucking legend. He's
no way.
One of the best goalies to play in the league. Definitely well deserved. There's three goalies that were inducted. Obviously, I have the most facts on King Henrik because he's the most recent, and also he's just, he's that guy. He's him. When it comes to goalies. But I know Mike Vernon was another person that got inducted in this class. He was a goalie in the 80s and 90s. He does have a William Jennings Trophy under his belt. He has a Conn Smythe under his belt and two Stanley Cups as well. He led the Flames to their first cup in 88 and 89 season, and then won with the Red Wings in 97, where he won the Conn Smythe. Within that Conn Smythe playoff season, he went 16-4 as a starter, so he was pretty damn good. And doing that in the mid-90s is pretty impressive. So I feel like he's kind of a forgotten part about the Wings dynasty in the 90s, early 2000s. I know he had a brief stint there, but I think he's very, very famous with the Flames. I know the Flames retired his jersey number. Mike Vernon's from Calgary too, which it's pretty cool for being a Flames fan and, just thinking back on that. It's pretty awesome that he's getting inducted. Third on the list, we got Tom Barrasso. So this was the goalie that was around for the Lemieux and Yager days. He had two cups with the Penguins, the 91 and 92 championship. He's the leading goalie for points and assists all time, which I think is very, crazy to me. And it's probably because Lemieux. Lemieux is scoring so many coast-to-coast goals. Yager is probably scoring so many coast-to-coast goals. He probably just said it behind the net. That's a pretty cool stat line. He was the Vezina winner in 83 and 84, as well as the Calder winner that year. So he was Rookie of the Year and Goalie of the Year, which I think that's mind-blowing.
That's impressive.
Happen again. 84, 85, he won to William Jennings. William Jennings is lowest goals against average for anyone that doesn't know. He is a league champion in Italy as well as a coach, and the Alps Hockey League as a coach. So does have some championships under his belt as a coach. So all around good hockey player and coach, Tom Barrasso. So those are our three goalies. Going to our first player skater on the list. Pierre Turgeon, 1,327 points in 1,294 games. So over a point per game.
Wow.
19 season NHL vet. Mm-hmm. Was a first overall pick in 1987. And what I remember him as, because, I wasn't, really growing up watching him, but what I remember him as is for getting hit while celebrating. There's this one famous clip. If you want to pull it up. I know we talked about it before, but dude, that is crazy. It was by Dale Hunter. He got a 21 game suspension.
He's right there.
I think Turgeon got hurt from this, and 21 game suspension for this. So it's definitely a huge cheap shot.
Dude, that is insane.
I cannot believe a player did that.
It's just so I get frustrated, getting frustrated at losing, but to take it out on a player like that who's celebrating a big goal like that. Oh, that's such a dirty hit, too. Up high, throws into the boards, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, it's not good. But, Pierre Turgeon, very, very good player in the 90s. I know he recorded 100 points and plus twice, 2 to 3 times. His best season was 132 points in 92-93 and won the Lady Bing that year, which is pretty damn impressive. Mm-hmm. He is French-Canadian as well, 5-time All-Star. And he has a fucking racehorse named after him, which I think is really crazy. And the racehorse won several horse races in France before getting retired. So I think that's pretty badass. And I know in 1987, there was a World Junior famous punch-up in Pistony. He was the only player to not leave the bench for that, which he got a lot of criticism for that. So that's kind of a little bit about Pierre Turgeon. We got three more on the list. Little less about these people, but Ken Hitchcock, he is a coach on the list. Fourth winningest coach in NHL history. He has two WHL titles with Kelowna when he was starting out as a coach, and then a Stanley Cup with Dallas. But I know, you know, he recently was with the Blues. He's been all around the league. Still, though, being the fourth winningest coach in NHL history is pretty impressive. Going to our fifth. Yeah, I think we're third, fourth, fifth, sixth person, Pierre Lacroix. He was the Nordiques and Avalanche GM when they won two cups in the 90s. He was a big part of the reason why they got Ray Bourque and Patrick Waugh over there to Colorado, which those were huge parts of their teams in those cups. And he did, unfortunately, die of COVID recently in 2020. So, rest in peace to Pierre Lacroix. And then very last but not least on our list, we have Caroline Ouellette, and she is a Canadian ice hockey player. She's a four-time Olympic gold medalist, which is fucking insane. Six-time world championship gold medalist, six-time world championship silver medalist, four-time Clarkson Cup winner. She's one of the only three women to be in the triple gold club for women. That's Clarkson Cup, Olympic gold, and world championship gold. I didn't really know what the Clarkson Cup was before researching, but it's kind of like the equivalent of the Stanley Cup for women's hockey. I think, you know, they could probably work on making that a little bit more promoted and known. College hockey points too for the NCAA. 30 points in 20 Olympic games, and she does have the Order of Canada. So those are all seven people that are getting inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame for this year. So pretty damn impressive for this class. But like I said, I'm so excited for next year's. There's a lot of good players on that that are going to be eligible for next year. And that's kind of what I got for this way back Wednesday though.
Nice. Yeah, some Hockey Hall of Fame member. That's cool. What was I going to say about that? I forget. But yeah, I think the Hockey Hall of Fame is cool to me. I don't know. I've heard like conflicting things. I think it's pretty hard to get into. I mean, clearly we're seeing some people from back in the 80s now getting into it. Obviously, Henrik, I think, being a pretty much first ballot Hall of Fame person, I think anyone else in the most recent time is going to be like that. Probably Patrice Bergeron, Sidney Crosby for sure, same with Ovechkin when they eventually retire. Yeah. But I think it's definitely – have you been to the Hockey Hall of Fame?
No, I haven't. I want to go so bad, though.
Toronto?
Yeah, I've never been to
Toronto. Before. Yeah, I went –
I really want to check it out. It just seems like an awesome place. I mean, all of the Hall of Fames, I feel like, are kind of a special place in all sports.
Yeah. No, they are.
I know football
yeah.
and hockey are like the most – and baseball, too, are some of the most famous ones. I've heard too much about the basketball one, but I'm sure it's really cool. But yeah, the hockey one, there's just so much history in that, dude. Like, I would love to check that out. I feel like it would be very, very special to me.
Yeah. I went, what year was that? I think I was like 12 or 13. We played in a tournament up in Pelham, Ontario, which is right by Niagara Falls. Yeah. And on one of our days, I think it was. Like, I don't think we made the – it was for Silver – did you ever play in Silver Sticks or know what that was?
No. They didn't have that shit in Montana.
No? Okay. Okay. Sometimes it was like – it's a pretty regional – like, it's all over the country. And, like, we were in the Pacific one. We won it in San Jose. Sometimes you go to Detroit and sometimes it's in Pelham, Ontario. We got to go to Ontario one, which was super cool. It's, like, right on the border of Canada and USA. Right on Niagara Falls, we got to do the, like, there was pond hockey, and our background was Niagara Falls. It was definitely the coolest moment of my life up to that point. It was cool. But then we got to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. That place is, it was right after the Kings won the cup. So that was 2013. They won in 2012. Yeah. So I think it was 2013. We went Hockey Hall of Fame. It was super cool. We got to see the Stanley Cup, or one of them. Didn't touch it. I'm not a fucking. A lot of my teammates touched it, and they're Sharks fans, so that's probably why we're doing so bad. But
don't touch it.
Yeah. Never touch the cup. If you get the opportunity to, it's just bad luck. It's not even just for hockey. It's just I'm superstitious, so like especially with the Stanley Cup, it's just something so sacred. Like, unless you win it and you're on a team that have won it, or like you're in the organization, don't touch that cup because you're gonna have bad luck. But yeah, we got to call it super cool. They had a store there. I got a Bobby Orr jersey there at the Hockey Hall of Fame. It was super cool. So yeah, if you ever get the opportunity, anyone listening, if you're ever in Toronto, it's definitely a cool place. Like you said, yeah, a lot of history. They have a bunch of like Wayne Gretzky's like gear hung up there. It's pretty cool. But yeah, my history segment. So this is something I researched a bit, like about 2 months ago. I was going to do a little video on it, but I was like, you know what, this will be perfect. So what this is back in 1976. So this is middle of the Cold War. Obviously at that point, USA and Russia or Soviet Union, tensions were very high. Always like nuclear power. It was a long war, but no one ever like fired any shots. It was all very just, it was really just a big dick competition. Who had the bigger dick? But the Red Army was a team that the Soviets put together. They had two teams. I forget the other name. It was like something Wings. But the Red Army went on a tour, and their main goal was just to dominate international hockey all over. And they were a great team. They had eventually then went on an NHL tour and played a lot of the original six teams. The first team they played was the Rangers. They beat them 7-3. Mind you, this is a team full of Soviet like army people just going out and somehow beating the NHL. So 7-3 to the Rangers. They tied the Canadiens and then beat the Bruins 5-2. So they'd already had a lot of hype about them, and America was just like, holy shit, they're beating us.
Yeah, man.
So January 11th happens.
Yeah. Red Army was un-fucking believable. I mean, I've done a lot of research into them, and I know there's a few documentaries on them, but yeah, the Soviet Union, they changed hockey. That team was next fucking level for intern hockey.
They were insane.
Going to the military thing you said, I mean, they were training 11 months out of the year. They didn't get this off, and they weren't really getting paid that much, living in a communist country too. No. But these hockey players were unfucking believable. I mean, especially within the Red Army, there's just some absolute legends. But yeah, I'll let you continue. I mean, they're absolute.
But like even out of the Red Army, like a lot of those kids then ended up playing in the NHL after too. So, So January 11th, 1976, this is now, the Flyers had won two Stanley Cups in a row. So they're defending Stanley Cup two time for the Flyers, end up being the only cups they'll ever win up until this point. But at that point, they were known as the Broad Street Bullies. They were known for their physicality, their chippiness, just being gritty guys led by Bobby Clark. Legend Bobby Clark, great player. But yeah, the Soviets were pretty much, they were known as very skilled players, but I think they just kind of, Flyers saw them as a bit soft. So after this game, it definitely showed to them, because in that game, they just constantly pretty much just laid body on them and were just very physical against them. And they just were not, the Soviets were not ready for that and kind of took them by surprise. And pretty much after, what was it? It was towards the end of the first period. What is his name? Fred Van Impe laid a huge hit on one of their players. And the Soviets saw it as dirty, but the refs didn't call it. They didn't think it was a dirty hit. I can show the video, and in the later time, I'll edit it in there. But yeah, so he laid a huge hit on them. Mind you, this game is tied 0-0 at this point. I think the Soviets were probably caught a little bit off guard. I know the Flyers played a little bit more of a trap style game instead of just chasing, which is, I think, what they learned from the other teams, is they kind of saw them just chasing around and just getting beat, outskilled. And they kind of, the Flyers let them come to them and stayed back a little bit more and just laid the body on them. So after that hit, no call, and the Red Army is pissed about this. They are upset. The coach is pissed off that he's not getting a call for that. I think they're just also scared because they're like, holy shit, this team could beat us. So after that hit, they get off the ice, Soviets do, and protest in the locker room. So they're sitting in there. the fans are just like, what the hell? Like, this team just got off the ice in the middle of the period. So the Flyers chairman, Ed Snyder, goes down to the locker room and talks to the president of the Soviet Hockey Federation. And he basically threatens them to not pay them their money that they were going to get for traveling out to the States, which was around like $200,000. That pretty much covered all the travel for the team, everything like that. Capitalism won again, and the Russians the Soviets decided to come out, and they're like, all right, we need our money. We're going to come out and play the rest of this game. I think it was 17 seconds into once they came back on the ice, the Flyers scored, and then they scored again 5 minutes later. So they scored two goals in 5 minutes immediately, 2-0. But yeah, the Flyers kept up the physicality, kept hitting them. The Soviets just didn't know what to do. The game ended up being 4-1 Flyers, a victory for America. But the shots were 49-13 in favor of the Flyers. So their goalie, I forget his name, Tretiak, I think it is.
Yeah.
He's like was an amazing goaltender. And honestly, if he wasn't playing, they probably would have gotten blown out more. But yeah, 49-13 in shots. And then 4 years later, a team of young Americans, amateur hockey players, went on and beat a Soviet team in the 1980 Olympics. And we all know that story and how that went. But I thought it was cool because it's something I never really knew about. And I've always like kind of idolized the Broad Street Bullies, just like their whole, their whole demeanor and just how they played hockey. Just kind of took a different approach to what a lot of teams were doing and just focused on physicality, and clearly it worked for them against the Soviets. So, but yeah, 100%, that's mine.
And I think, within the Soviet Union hockey program, they won so many Olympic medals, world championships. This was something that was very unheard of because, I know the Canada Cup that had been played in 1972, I think they played another one in like 76 and 77 too. That was Canada, all of Canadian, the Canadian hockey team. And there was NHL players, because at the time Olympic games, they weren't allowing amateur or they weren't allowing professional players. But the Soviets didn't pay their players that much, so they were still considered amateur players. Even though absolute legends, like you said, Tretiak, Mikhailov, Varlamov, those are some names that I remember. Fedizov's another one, Krutov, the center for them. They had a fucking such a powerhouse of a team, and it was a lot of their training. And their coach. Coach is very famous, Viktor Tikhonov. I think he just was so hard on these players. And I know I've watched some documentaries on it, but yeah, the Canada Cup happened, and I think they ended up tying versus Canada. So for an NHL team to just go in and, beat the Red Army team is unbelievable. I mean, that's like unheard of. One, but so beat also, them, like you said, I mean,
four to one too.
Brought a new style of play to the NHL. And I just think that's like really cool. And 70, 80s, 90s, even early 2000s is like, there would be certain teams that spark certain style of play and just change the game. It's pretty incredible. We'll save the Canada Cup for another time, and probably Miracle another time. There's so much hockey history to talk about, so I really am excited about the segment coming up. But
I like this one. I think it's just a bit different. It's kind of a look back, let you guys as listeners kind of learn something, hear a story. Try to be as accurate as we can. We'll keep doing that. I like that a lot. There's millions of things we can talk about and different things. So be forever. But coming up next, we do have the Global Series coming up in, what is it, Stockholm, Sweden?
So it's in Stockholm, Sweden, in Avicii Arena, which I think is sick they named it after Avicii.
That's cool.
Games coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Looks like the Wings, Senators, Leafs, and Wild are going to be playing over there. And within all those teams, there's a lot of Swedish players.
Daytime.
And European players. So I've heard these games are fucking – I would absolutely love to see an NHL game. overseas, I think that would just be something very special. And I think especially for those fans over there, they really like it. I think it's cool, like the NFL and NHL do this sort of thing with regular season games too, because it's like meaningful versus like preseason games. I know there's a lot of, I mean, even the NHL, I mean, the NHL played in fucking Australia in the preseason, which would be, that'd be sick if we had an Australian regular season game. But yeah, we're just going to do a little bit of a pick'em for these four games. Since there's only four games, we unfortunately don't have betting odds because some of these games are on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't even think we have betting odds for the Thursday games, but I would assume that these players and these teams are probably on their way over to Sweden, if not already there in Sweden right now. Never been to Sweden. Yeah. I'd love to go there. Been to Copenhagen, which was pretty similar, but everyone that I've met that's Swedish is really cool, and they fuck with hockey. Some absolute studs of hockey players coming out of there.
So, oh, yeah.
For this first one, though, we got the Wings versus Senators. I'm going to have to say the Wings take this one.
Yeah, me too.
Friday.
I think the Senators, slow start for them. But I think, yeah, I think Red Wings is going to take that.
Friday, we got Leafs versus Wings. And keep in mind, the Wings do have a back-to-back. I can see the Leafs taking this one just because it's a back-to-back. I think the Senators versus Wings is going to be a pretty hard game. I think both those teams know each other. They're both young. I do see the Leafs coming out on top on this one. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a back-to-back game is going to be tough for them. I don't know what their season series is at right now, but honestly, yeah, I think having that back-to-back and you're in another country on different time zone, obviously they're probably giving them enough time to adjust all that, but still, you still can't prepare for that drastic of a time change as much as you want. I think it'll still have an effect on them. So yeah, I think the Leafs win. And then that Saturday one, Wild and Senators. So it's only three teams going, so it's the Wild, Senators, and Leafs.
Four. Okay. Wild, Wings, Senators, and Leafs. Wild, Wings.
Oh yeah, four, Leafs. Duh.
But yeah, that's
The W's.
Saturday game, I'm gonna say Senators. Tough. Yeah, that's gonna be a tough game. I'm gonna go with the Senators.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of a toss-up of a game.
I am too, yeah.
But, and then Sunday, we got Leafs versus Wild. And what I like about all these games is they're early. We got Thursday and Friday's games are at noon for Mountain Standard Time.
Noon, our time.
Yeah, and then Saturday is 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and then Sunday's 6 a.m. I'm not waking up at 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
I probably won't be even
watching. Yeah, I'm not going to catch that.
I'm definitely going to be watching the noon ones. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
For the Sunday one, I'm going to go with the Wild. And this is kind of a wild take, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Wild.
Pick, yeah.
It's hockey.
Honestly, the Leafs haven't really given me a choice to pick them. So, I mean, they haven't been playing bad, but I think I'm trying to think. You know what? I'm going to split you on this one. I'm going to go Leafs. I think they win that game. Right.
But yeah, I'm really stoked for these games. I love when the NHL does this sort of thing. I think it would be.
Yeah.
I feel like with the NHL, it's pretty hard for them to probably do in the middle of the season to just get adjusted to a new time zone. Yeah. I feel like with the NFL, it's a little bit different. I mean, not saying the NFL isn't less work or anything. It's probably more work, to be honest. But
yeah, but they can at least have a whole week to prepare.
Yeah, 100%. At least players in terms of like time change and stuff, because that shit's real, man.
Yeah, they can get out there Monday or Tuesday and then play on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be definitely tough. I don't imagine them playing anytime soon, those teams. They're probably on their way now. If not today, then it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's see if any of those teams play today. I don't think they do.
Yeah, I would guess.
There's no way they're playing on Wednesday.
Back to
So they probably gave him enough time. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
What's interesting to me is they're giving the Leafs a day off and the Sens, it looks like, versus the Wings and Wild
in Stockholm
back to backs. The Wings and
Wild, they play back to backs,
but the Leafs and Senators aren't. So that's gonna be interesting.
That's probably Yeah, they'll probably give them more time to come home, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing for that. But, yeah, I think that could be fun. I don't know. We'll see. I like the daytime games. Those are always fun.
Yeah. Brings me back to, like, COVID when they do
that. It's always fun to... Yeah,
the
yeah.
The summer
that too.
Day games. I'm like, this is...
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, yeah, now we have a new name for our parlay. So, I know we've been doing this. We are currently...
I think we're
0-2 as of right now.
Yeah, or are we 0-3?
Yeah.
We're either 0-2 or 0-3.
No, we've only done two. But we're going to take it back. Each time, we're just going to take some legs back. We're only doing three legs this time. And we're also doubling up on one game. But it is called the Put the House on It Parlay.
Third time's the charm.
Pretty much that just means these are...
Third time's the charm.
Third time is the charm.
Put your house payment. Put your whole house on it.
Yeah.
I'm putting the house on this
parlay. Put your rent money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Put your rent money on it. You'll get your rent money back and some extra money.
Boom.
You know, pay for two rents. Yeah. You can pay for your roommate's rent if you want to. Yeah. But what we got first is Anaheim Ducks versus the Colorado Avalanche. This is tomorrow. The money line for that game is -270 for the Avs. We're picking that one. And the next one is the Canucks versus the Islanders. This one, -153 for the Canucks. And then also the under for that game as well, which is at 6. Now, it seems kind of low, but the Islanders, as we know, is a snooze fest, and they always play very – it's effective sometimes, but very boring hockey. Also, their goaltender is amazing. But Demko's honestly also not doing bad for the Canucks, so I think it's just going to be a low-scoring game, but I do think the Canucks are going to take it. So that's where we're riding with both of those. But those odds, I don't know why the odds don't show up on this alleged gambling site, but if you were to put $400,000, a price of an average-ish home, on this parlay, you would win $1.5 million. So if you're putting your house on this, you could be getting a whole nother house. You can buy three houses.
Three houses with this.
Yeah.
Hey, house bets can vary. Sometimes it's $15 even. You know, maybe it's a hundredth of your rent money or
Yeah, maybe you live at your parents' house and you don't pay anything. So yeah,
100%.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you're homeless and you're on the street, so you're putting a dollar on it. So it really just depends on what you are. And stuff like that. So, but yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything we've got today.
Fingers crossed we hit.
We're gonna hope that this one hits.
Third time's a fucking charm, boys. Come on.
It is. Yeah. Follow along with us. I currently have 27 cents in my account, so we'll see. I'll have to put some more money in there, but allegedly, actually, because we're not in a legal gambling state. Allegedly. But, yeah, maybe another side one if you want to throw it in there. We'll see. Now that Edmonton's back with a new coach, maybe put some money on McDavid to score a point or two. Maybe a goal, maybe first-time goal. If you want to be risky and make even more money. But that's what we got for you guys this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Let's see. Next week, we'll see what we have next week. We'll probably recap some of those global games and the daytime stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll keep an eye out for any news also as well. But if you guys aren't following, make sure you follow us on everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. So go to our Instagram, YouTube, subscribe, follow us on Spotify if that's where you're listening to us from. Yeah, make sure you save it all. Let us know that we're doing a good job. Yeah, leave a comment if you enjoyed the video as well and everything like that.
Hey,
but
vote on that
poll. Other than that, guys,
throw a poll up for the overtime options. What you would
the
like
poll
to
as well.
See. And whatever one wins, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. I'll do something though.
Yeah. We'll talk about it next episode. Whatever one wins, we'll talk about it and maybe make, I could think of some things. We'll see. But yeah, just vote on that poll. That's on our Instagram. So you got to be following us. So at Settle Down Pod, I believe. But other than that, guys, you guys have a great rest of your week. Whoever's listening, and watch some hockey. That's all I got to say.
Hells yeah. Peace out.